Prior to South Sudan's independence in 2011, the international community funded several humanitarian and development projects in the country, but after fighting broke out in late 2013, many partners reduced their funding on development programs, and some, including the United States, imposed sanctions on South Sudanese individuals, all in an effort to pressure the country's leaders to eliminate corruption and restore peace and stability. So far, those efforts have yielded few positive results. However, Jock Madud Jock, a South Sudanese political analyst and a lecturer of anthropology at the University of Syracuse in New York, says South Sudan's problems can only be solved by South Sudanese.
No matter how much international goodwill, no matter how much money is poured in from outside, no matter the diplomatic pressures, the reality is that no one can solve the problems of South Sudan except the South Sudanese themselves. All that the world can do is facilitate, pay and support, provide expertise, but the will to solve the problems of South Sudan is needed to come from the South Sudanese leadership itself.
Jock says the political leaders who should have put the country on the right path are the same leaders who have caused the current socio-economic and political mayhem in the country. He says the chief problem in South Sudan, a failure of leadership, began with the country's political elite right at the time the country got its independence. Jock says the euphoria felt by the South Sudanese people in 2011 when the country attained its independence was depleted almost immediately, and hopes were dusty when its leaders did not build a cohesive nation.
And due to that failure, political disunity kicked in prominently soon after independence, and perhaps even dating back to the days of the struggle for independence. This was not addressed following the ushering in of a new state. The second is a failure to manage the resources of the country for the benefit of all. It was soon after independence that most people in South Sudan fell into poverty, in flagrant deprivation of people, their exclusion from the gains of independence. The third factor, in my view, is violence and insecurity that was perpetrated by various malicious, disgruntled generals who fell out with the state, with the leadership at that time.
South Sudan's birth had partly depended on efforts of the international community. The Comprehensive Peace Agreement, signed in 2005 between the then semi-autonomous region of Southern Sudan and the Sudan government, that led to an independent South Sudan, was facilitated by the international community, especially the United States. Observers say had it not been for the efforts of the international community, it's not known if the Comprehensive Peace Agreement would have been signed. Peter Lomude Francis, a senior member of the National Democratic Movement, one of the signatories to the 2018 revitalized peace deal, says the international community and the region seem to have abandoned their role of backing the implementation of the agreement.
The guarantors, they are not playing their part. The eagle that is supposed to appoint the chairperson of RGMA, you know, after today, the RGMA continue to be headed by an interim chair. So we feel that, you know, they should also, you know, leave to, you know, their mandate, and they should help the people of South Sudan to move forward.
Jock says the country's leaders have not followed through on their promises.
People are marginalized and excluded from the gains of independence. For it is all these things, the inequality, the ghastly disparities that have been produced among the people of South Sudan by the kind of leadership and the kind of petty capitalist system, the primitive accumulation of resources in the hands of a few people to the exclusion of the vast swath of the people, those are fundamental causes of conflict in these countries.
Jock says the Kiir administration needs to ensure that the country's resources are equitably distributed and provide adequate security for citizens so that the country can move forward.
But until there is a sense that distribution of resources is equitable, protection of citizens is a prime responsibility of the state, the consequence of that is always that citizens will be interested in arming themselves to provide that protection. It disunites the country.
Nicholas Haysom, the United Nations Special Representative of the Secretary General in South Sudan, speaking to the media recently, agrees with Jock.
Now what is required is national leadership, dedicated resources for completing the transition, and a visible commitment by South Sudan's leaders to fulfill their responsibilities under the peace agreement. I call on all parties to demonstrate collective common purpose, unity of purpose, by working together towards the full implementation of the agreement. I encourage the leaders to take the necessary steps for the country to exit its transitional period through the conduct of free, fair, credible, and peaceful elections.
South Sudan plunged into deadly violence in December 2013, just 2 years after the country's independence, and in 2016 a fresh round of fighting broke out in Juba and quickly spread across the country, setting off a political and economic crisis. Researchers estimated that around 400,000 people have been killed in South Sudan in the subsequent conflicts since the fighting erupted in 2013. The 2018 peace agreement, aimed at restoring peace and stability, has largely remained unimplemented, with less than 8 months to go before the transitional period expires. A recent United Nations report estimated that 60% of South Sudan population will face severe hunger by the middle of next year, and called for urgent assistance to address the growing crisis. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudu in Juba.